Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. Get in there now. Get in there now, especially with England-Germany on the way. You've always got to look forward to a game like that, haven't you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, for the VAR reasons, obviously, if any incidents happen tonight, I mean, I think they could have done with the VAR last night with the Northern Ireland game in Switzerland, but not to be.
Oh, that's very, very true, and I'll pick up on that in just a second, because we have quite a lot of people getting in touch with that one already, and you can get your questions in at @radio_Yorkshire, studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk. Now, Mark, I've always been a bit hesitant of video refereeing technology. I've said it for quite a while. I've loved the goal line technology. I think that's been absolutely superb, but from what I've seen in the Confederations Cup, it's not filled me with too much optimism. Should I be a bit more open-minded about it all, Mark?
Listen, I was the same as you. I think, you know, anything that helps the referees, you know, enhance their decision-making has got to be good for the game. And it's a sport. It's not a sport anymore. It's a massive business. And once the Confederations Cup came along, it all went out the window because they didn't follow the protocol. And it depends on the quality of the VAR. And there obviously needs to be more training and education in that department because it was all over the place. And I spoke to one or two referees and they were telling me they got dropped in, you know, got dropped in it by the VAR by not following the protocol. And that's the crux of it. They've got to follow the protocol that is laid down by the IFAB in this VAR. It's exactly the same right away across. I mean, I don't know if anybody's watching some of the M&S action, they've sort of brought in their own protocols, which they shouldn't be doing. So everybody should be on the same page, and that's not happening at present. So for me, it's down to the quality of the VAR. It's like an assistant referee. It's a specialist position, and for me, you've got to have much more retired ex referees, because some of the referees that are doing these VARs now, it's like they're refereeing the game. They're not there to referee the football match. They're there to pick up on obvious errors made by the referee or the assistant, and that's not what's happening in the Confederations Cup.
Well, that's something that I've always been a bit worried about, Mark, is not just some of the decisions, but actually it's slowing the game down, you know, because we've seen some fantastic sporting moments up there. We see, you know, Watford less in the playoff all those years ago, obviously Aguero's goal, and they won the Premier League. If that had been taken back to a video refereeing decision, would it have spoilt the moment a little bit?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, obviously, I think there's still some work to be done. How long and how far you go back, how long do you go back? So, you know, what people have got to realise is, I mean, it's like the reviewable incidents are goals, penalty kicks, red cards and mistaken identities. I mean, you know, you go back to the what we were talking about, you know, in the summer with the Confederations Cup, the final. I think, you know, there was that clear elbow incident, an act of violent conduct, which was missed by the referee and picked up by VAR. And so that worked correctly. I mean, you know, they notified the referee. The referee then went and looked at it, and for the life of me, I cannot see how he's come back and give a yellow card. So, although it worked correctly in that instance, the referee just got it all wrong. And you know, so when a VAR is telling you, listen, there's a clear act of violent conduct, you should be thinking of a red card, not a yellow card. That's where it worked well initially, but then the referee then chose to show a yellow card wrongly, in my opinion. So it's still open to flaws in the VAR, and that's why there's got to be a lot of training and education between, you know, the match officials and obviously the active official and the guy that's sitting in the VAR. And I just think it's got to be someone that's been, as a VAR, has got to be as refereed at the highest level, who's now retired, who then can go and sit in that box and do this VAR job. So as I say, it's a totally different mindset. You're there. You're not re-refereeing the game. You're there to pick up the clear and obvious errors made by the match officials on the day.
Mark, I guess you've already hit the nail on the head there with the education and training thing. But the only issue I have with VAR is the fact that it's being brought in for these sort of like grey areas. Just to use two contrasting examples, though, obviously, because it's going to be brought in for penalties. Obviously, last night with the Northern Ireland and Switzerland game, that's an obvious not a penalty. So that would have
never
been
a penalty. Never
yeah,
a penalty.
Exactly. So it would have been used for that, obviously, to reverse a decision. But if you think of the think it was Bernardo Silva against Nick Pope in the Premier League. That was split right down the middle. There were like 50% of people thinking it was a penalty, 50% of people thinking it wasn't a penalty. So it's them sort of grey areas that I worry about. So how do you sort of go forward and sort of like make sure you're making the correct decisions with them?
I mean, I've got to say, I mean, on that, I thought it was a clear dive. I have to say, I thought it was simulation, and I think he initiated contact.
See, I'm a Burnley fan, and I actually thought he touches the foot. There's enough there for a penalty. See, that's what I mean. There's too many grey areas there for me.
But who initiated the contact? Was it Nick Pope or was it Silva?
Well, I think with the way that I can see the argument of Silva, because obviously his foot kind of goes towards him, but the way that Nick Pope rushes out and also sort of kind of catches him, the foot gets embedded underneath Nick Pope's knee. There's a great debate
On that situation, for me as a VAR, I mean, where you've got, you know, it's split, you would, and it's a grey area, then what would have to happen there, in my opinion, is the VAR would have to come down on the side of the referee. Because it's not a clear and obvious error, is it, in most people's eyes, because it's split.
Yeah, fair enough.
When it's like that, then you come down on the side of the referee. But in the instance last night with a handball, I mean, you know, to be honest, the referee of that calibre should not be making. For me, I think he's guessed the decision, and if we had VAR in operation last night, he would have definitely had to reverse his decision, because it was clearly not deliberate handball.
No, I think you are right there, Mark. I could never understand that decision, even from the first time that I seemed to be watching it there as well. One thing that I was looking at, Mark, is obviously there's a lot of pressure that comes down on referees. You'll have experienced it for years from some of the fans, you know, but with some of the greyer areas, when a referee makes a decision, you can think, well, that's an interpretation, it was split second, all the rest of it. But when it comes down to sort of video refereeing technology, there's not that sort of lee room there, is there really?
Well, no, but as I say, the IFAB, it's clear and obvious errors by the referee, or the match official, the assistant referee, with offside goals and clear errors made by the referee. I mean, you look at the tackle last night on, was it Dallas, the Northern Ireland?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, and was it Shah? I think it was Shah, the Swiss player. Mm. And, you know, the referee then, you've got to be, as a referee at the highest level, you've got to be switched on from kickoff. I mean, that was after five minutes, I think it was, 5 or 6 minutes. I mean, clearly, he wasn't switched on. He hadn't done his homework. You know, it was a massive, massive game for both teams. And it was I mean, I sat and watched it, and I sat there, and as soon as the challenge went in, for me, that was a clear, clear red card, because, you know, it was serious foul play, with a challenge with excessive force, endangering the player's safety with brutality. It was out of control. It was the lunge from the front, one or both feet, and it was a clear, clear red card challenge. Now, for me, he's come out, he's not given himself anything in time, he's come out straight away with a yellow card. Now, the quality, if the VAR was in operation, that's where it comes down to the quality of the VAR watching that incident. You hang back on the cards. You don't bring out the yellow card straight away, because, you know, the quality of the VAR would have been coming in saying, listen, you need to be looking at that, you need to be checking that, and, you know, you should be thinking of red. So then that's when the referee then goes back over and looks at the monitor and gives him that second viewing point. Had that been in operation, I can guarantee that referee then would have gone back and shown a red card to the Switzerland player. Then it makes it a totally different ball game for the Irish, because then they're playing, you know, 11v10. And it was a game-changing decision. It was a clear, clear error. So it was there was two big clear errors made last night for the match by the referee, which you don't normally see at international football.
That's very, very true, to be fair. I couldn't believe that at such an international level decision like that was being made. I've had loads of people getting in touch with us today on video refereeing. Joe's got in touch. Hang in touch, Joe. He said one of his concerns, it's not very entertaining for the viewers or the fans in the stadium, as they don't get to see it on the screens. I imagine at Premier League level, it's sort of fine, but if you're going down to sort of League One, League Two, it's a little bit harder to be able to put there on the big screen to see exactly what they're doing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, for me, football is just as important whether it's League One, League Two, the National League, National North, National South, or you come all the way down to level five like my brother. You know, he's a manager at non-league level, and he rings me every Saturday whinging about the referee. I don't think it'd go down to that level, but it should, because they're just as important as what the Premier League and the top league is. So I think you're right. I think there has to be a screen. I think it's got to be inside. It's got to be like cricket. It's got to be like rugby league, rugby union. The screen's there. You can all see it. And then it adds to the more excitement. Is it a goal? Is it not a goal? Is it a penalty? Is it a penalty? Is it a red card? Is it not a red card? And you're all there. You're looking. And all of a sudden comes up, goals disallowed. All the home fans will be pleased. The away fans will be sorry. So I think it will add to the excitement. What if they can get it right? They can, you know, they've got to get this right, because I know it's coming into the World Cup. As I say, after the Confederations Cup in the summer, there's a lot of work to be done before it comes into the World Cup. It's going to come in, and we've got to embrace it. It's no good keep knocking it. We've got everyone in football now has got to embrace it, because it's going to be here and it's going to stay. Mm. But the problem we'll have, I think, in the World Cup is that, you know, we have referees from all around the world. Mm. And what you've got to remember is some of those referees, where they come from, they're not using VAR. They will never use VAR.
Mm.
So that's why I stress the importance of the training and education of all these officials.
And I guess if you put it on a screen as well.
I was coaching in Colombia, referee coaching in July, and we went to watch a couple of football matches. And the passion out there is unbelievable. And we were talking about the VAR, and we were told that it would never come into that area because they don't want it. So if they don't have to use it, it's not going to be law where every national federation's got to use the VAR. That's not going to be the case. It's up to those individual leagues or the individual federations whether they bring that VAR into their league football.
And I guess if you bring it on to like a big screen as well, that gets rid of the slowing the game downside of things, because obviously it brings, like you just said, Mark, the excitement in of people watching it happening on the screen, so that gets rid of that side of things. So I think that's the other issue I have with it, the fact that it stops the game, the referee has to go over and look at a screen, and that's just a little bit tedious at the time. And I think if it is on a big screen, that will work perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be all the time. It's going to just be for clear and obvious errors. So, you know, goals, penalty kicks, red cards and mistaken identity.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have a problem at the moment. How far do you go back? You know, how far do you go back in the attacking phases of play if you're going to review a goal?
Mm.
So you could have an attack that starts right in the defending penalty area, then goes all the way up, and then they score a goal. So there could be potentially an incident right the way back in the just outside the defending 18-yard area where there was a foul that wasn't given. The goal scored. Now, at the moment, the referee could, you know, the VAR could say, listen, there was a foul in the attacking phase of play that you didn't pick up. You need to go back and have a look at it. So it's how far do you go back? Now, for me, you know, if it goes from one end to the other end and goes in, no problem. But it's when it starts in the defence, it goes up to the halfway line, it comes back, then it goes out to the wing, and it comes back across, and then it goes down to the left, and it comes into the box. How far do you go back?
Mm.
And so there's got to be credibility, you know, to define the length of time. How far do you go back when you check on goals? For me, if it's the attacking phase of play that leads straight to that goal, fine. But you can't go back 7 or 8, 9 passes earlier to see if there was a foul in the build-up 2 minutes earlier. It's got to be in that attacking phase of play, because there's no length of time specified, but there's a credibility issue to consider in that situation.
Mm. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there as well, Mark. We've got more people getting in touch with us. Graham's got in touch. He said, get some top-level rugby league officials in. Obviously, they've been using it for quite some time, haven't they, in the likes of rugby league and rugby union. But I do know some rugby league fans that actually want to get rid of it now because of some of the decisions that have been made over in rugby league. And Gary's got in touch.
I wasn't happy with Saints getting knocked out, getting beat anyway.
yeah. I can understand that. I won't bring up the 2004 Grand Final for the Bradford Bulls either. I'm going back a fair while since I've been in that. He's got in touch as well. He said, Defo need video referees for big games. Picked up on last night's game, of course, with the penalty and that booking that should have been a sending off. And he said, it's time for video refs in the Premier League, in the Euros and in the World Cup. Because I suppose when it comes down to this, Mark, I mean, you have been involved in some massive games in your time of refereeing. And you look at it, and there's a lot on the line in a lot of these games for Premier League, Euros, World Cup, not just monetary-wise, but just the pure emotion of it as well.
Yeah, it is, and it's, you know, sometimes you make decisions during the course of the game, and you're thinking, big decisions, game-changing decisions, and you're thinking, and the next 4 or 5 minutes, you're thinking yourself, the game's going on, you're thinking yourself, God, I hope I've got that right, because I know if I'm coming off at half-time, I'll be told if I've got it wrong. Or sometimes you go to your fourth position, hey, have I got that right? Have I got that penalty right? Have I got that sending off right? And if nothing came back, you thought, oh, I've got this wrong. So it's, you know, then you've got to carry on refereeing. But it is tough, as I said before. I think now the time's come because there's so much money involved now. I think anything that comes along that enhances the referee's decision-making, it's got to be good. And in today's current climate, it's about getting the big, big decisions right. And we're seeing far, far too often now that there's more that are getting wrong than we are getting right.
That's very, very true. Joe, what do you reckon then? Have you been convinced to video refereeing technology?
Well, like I said, I'm on the fence. I see Mark's point about the education thing, though. I think, obviously, they need to be educated, the video referees and things like that. It's just the grey areas that sometimes I worry about. But I am excited to see it in action tonight, and I believe it's going to be in the FA Cup, in Premier League games as well. It's being used in the MLS, so I'm excited to see it develop.
Joe, it's only going to be used in live FA Cup games.
Ah, right, okay,
not every FA Cup tie, only in live televised FA Cup games.
Right,
so is that fair?
No, you're right, it's not. Especially as well, I believe it's only at Premier League stadiums as well, so obviously if it's lower down the league system, they don't get it.
It's going to be, yeah.
I mean, it's the same with goal line technology.
Yeah, true.
There's three clubs in the Championship that haven't got goal line technology.
That's it. That's exactly it. And I just think it's sometimes if you're going to see someone go out for one reason in the FA Cup, but not for another because you've used video refereeing technology, that's where it gets complicated. And just final on this as well, Mark, it's important to get this right tonight with it being England versus Germany. Is there some pressure on tonight that they do get this right? Because it is going to be it might convince a lot of England fans that they need this in the Premier League now as well.
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's definitely coming into the Premier League. I know that they're looking at VAR for next season. I think we'll see one or two retirements from the Premier League now, because, as I said before, I think it needs to be retired referees that have been at the very, very top. I mean, I would put myself down there, because I think myself I'm very good at with key match incidents. But I think tonight we've got the Polish officials. I think we've got the Polish officials coming over. But the only problem I have with this is, it's a good time, but it's a friendly game. It's a friendly. So it'd be interesting to see, the pace of the game and what happens tonight, if there is any big decisions to be made. Obviously, England-Germany is never a friendly game. So, as I say, it'd be interesting. I'll be watching it, and perhaps we'll have a conversation next week on this.
Oh, well, it sounds absolutely cracking, Mark, and thanks a lot for joining us. I know you're very busy. You've been doing quite a lot on the ref show with Alan Biggs. Always a fantastic watch. Always enjoy watching that one, and you are the ref. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Yorkshire today.
Pleasure, fellas. Good luck. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too there, Mark. Thanks a lot for joining us there, mate.